Well, greetings to each one this evening. It's a blessing to be gathered in this way again. It seems like we have a beautiful weather. The Lord is allowing spring to causing things to spring forth. So, to greet you all and welcome. It's a blessing to see everyone gathered. Those of us that could. Maybe we could just rise together for a word of prayer before we start. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this evening, we bow before you. We worship you and we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the beauty and the glory of another day that you've allowed us to partake of, Lord, as we saw your Son come up this morning and we're part of this evening as we gather together and study your word on God's design for relationships. And Lord, we sense our need of you, and we realize that as we meditate on this subject, we just barely see a glimpse of it, Lord. Yet your entire word is laced with this, Lord. It's dealing and working together with your people and having a relationship and being one with you, first of all, Father, and then being one with with each other, and laying our lives down for each other. Lord, we recognize that this is a work that doesn't come naturally, so we want to entreat you this evening to help us to study your word and to look at your word and walk circumspectly and walk yielded to your design and your will for our lives. Lord, tonight I thank you for each young person and their parents as they come out. Lord, help us to learn together of your word, Lord, that we could gain a nugget of truth this evening that would bless us for all eternity. We love you tonight, and we just commit this evening into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Relationships. I'm not sure what all went through your mind in the past, month strong. What went through our minds as we thought of relationships? Sometimes that word rings a little negative. Sometimes that word rings kind of maybe feminine or weak, or you know, trying to build relationships. And so I'm not sure. Sometimes by the misuse or the misinterpretation of it, it tends to come at us in different ways. So we would like to not stray away from God's precious word tonight in light of relationships. That's our heart. So relationships this evening, God's design for relationships is the title of the outline. And many of you have done, I'm sure you've done all those and looked over those verses. So we can look at a few examples tonight. We're going to look at a design and God's design. And we're going to use an earthly design I have drawn on the board of a baseball field. So we're going to look at a design tonight because good relationships have a method. However, we don't want to focus on a method because the world knows how to put methods together. But there are principles that work, and they work across the board. They work good. So we'll look at some of those from God's Word as well. And them ways are found right from the Word of God, so we're thankful for that. A key thought on a good relationship is to love God. You know, because God loves people. You know, try to love people and not really love God. You just got to forbear with people. But if you love God, and I see that as a work in progress. I'm probably the most needy person here in light of relationships. I see a great need. But the more I can love God, the more we can love people. There's an endless supply of grace and strength. Love God. Many times we like to deal with relationships. But wherever there's a relationship problem, there's very likely a selfish problem. And you, we could shake selfishness and just call it sin. So you have to deal with sin, but then you also have to deal with the relationship, because sin severs relationships. It always does. That was not my own words. I was listening to a man that, an older man that taught that. Just a few points on some of the practical ways to view it. Think of practical ways that we're hurting. You and I become hurting with our relationships. How will we say this? Some of these are just practical things. So I think I'll just do that. That way it helps me to understand it. So if I am in my home, we'll use our home for example, my wife and children. And if I find my children just really desiring to pull away from home, or you could say if you find girls flirting, moving along in life, it's very likely a relationship problem. It's just a very practical point. Not I have nothing in mind, I'm just thinking those things. And if you find that, probably a relationship with dad. Just think about those things. And mom, the same it is with boys. They're running after things, maybe worldly things. They want partners. They want this, and they want to run after things. And there's a relationship lacking many times in that. With daddy and mommy. Another study has been given that 6 hours of communication a day, face-to-face, put away depression, put away self and self-images and excluding ourselves, but communication with each other, our children, family. I'm continuing to think family, but we can also think in brotherhoods and church life. 6 hours a day, communication, by the way, not texting, but communication. It helps build character. There's expressions, facial expressions, face-to-face. Think of this beautiful principle. What for daddy desires a retirement plan? And now don't just throw us out, but think about that. The best retirement plan is to have a relationship with your sons. Just think about that. That's humbling. I want to just very practical, but a son, the daddy gets older and he backs away from the occupation and the son just takes a hold of it. He won't do that without a relationship. He won't. He'll be like, I'm out of here. I can do my own thing. Best. And so when we think of, now that word retirement, you could use anything, but I just think of the world, they want retirement plans. And I just thought of that. Very practical point, and I thought, praise God. God has a way. The Word of God has a way for parents to have a good retirement plan, but in the kingdom of God, in a very real and a practical way. The word relationship in 1828. It's a state of being related and kindred, by a kindred or by blood or by another, by other alliance. In light of the church of God, in a home is by blood, but by a body is by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a relationship established. And that is those subjects, those persons. We become subject to supreme authority. We're under the government of Jesus, our God. I was sharing earlier about loving God. As a relationship of parents and children, it's a connection between two. It's a mutual respect. And then you see of the relationship, and then we see God's design. And if you look at the word design, it means a plan or a representation of a thing by an outline, a sketch, or a general view, represented by visible lines. So following the Lord's design, it fits us. Following the Lord's design, it fits us for now and the future, both here and for the other side. It's a blessing. It's because the design won't change from here to there. The design is the same. It's from the Lord. Now the bodies are going to change and we're going to put on new bodies and all these things. So one could say that God's design for relationships works every time for His glory. Even though it may not feel like that every time. It may not feel like that every time. Turn your Bibles, a few verses for those. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. These are words from the Apostle Paul. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Then he says in verse 3, But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Some very familiar scriptures there. I was just meditating on those scriptures the last few days. Paul starts by saying, Be ye followers of me, Paul said, as I am of Christ. Isn't that a blessing? You know, as a daddy, you can say, Follow me, son, as I follow Christ. Now we're going to look a little bit later. Is that 100% perfection? Probably not. Not at all. That's not what we're talking about. But as I follow Christ, follow me. Remember me, Paul says, and keep the ordinances that I delivered them unto you. The Apostle Paul was delivering ordinances to the Corinthian church, and he was delivering them, and he was entreating them to keep these as he delivers them to them. And then he says in verse 3, but I would have you know, always acknowledging that supreme authority. Paul said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You see the design there. And when that design is tampered with, we can cry out for relationships all day long. But it just doesn't have godly. Remember, we're talking about God's design and godly relationships. God's design. So I had a thought I was drawing. I thought I'd just do that. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. It's kind of a rough sketch. It's a design, because anybody tell me what that design is? I said earlier, it's a baseball field. And one may say, well, how can we talk about relationships with a baseball field? I don't know. I'm just going to try it anyway. But it was a blessing. It was an inspiration in our life as a family as we discussed it and talked together. I'm sure that this little sketch will have a bunch of holes in it. And it's a lot of different things could be taught through this, but I would like to make a few points. Godly relationships have a design. And today we live in a time as probably an ever-increasing time that the focus is pushed on relationships at the expense to push away the design. Does that make sense? I just want us to think, I'm thinking about that, like push away the design and focus on just building a relationship. All godly relationships are built around a perfect design. Are they perfect every time? No, but they're going that way. The outline, because the outline is from God Himself. And that's a freedom that we get to yield to. This God's design, we just yield to that. And it's a shame sometimes how many times we get caught up in a cycle of not doing that the way we should. our focus, my focus on this drawing and some of the thoughts is, you know, not strike three and you're out, but rather the harmony of this design. If you watch a baseball game, now I'm not endorsing sports. I did some in my teens. I watched baseball. And it was always an interesting game to me because it wasn't, basketball was more rough and football was a lot rougher, but this was more designed. It had a very unique purpose. And so I was always intrigued by that as a young man because I wasn't very good at basketball, neither football. So that's probably why. But, you know how foolish is it when someone is trying to play outside of these bounds, okay? If you're familiar with, there's a home plate, first base, second base, third base, and then back to home. So the team that's endeavoring to score some runs, they're around the home plate and surrounding that. And so they have an umpire. And that umpire, if I understand it right, he is without a respect to persons. So we'll put our Lord. See, God is an umpire. He's not biased with one team or another. He wants what's best for this team that's on the home plate. So the umpire's sitting there and the team is ready to play. How foolish is it for one of those team members, one or two, when someone tries to play outside of these bounds and still proclaim that we're playing baseball? You know, just making some very, you know, some projective thoughts to help me to see that. The other thing is very key and foundational to this is whose team are we on? Whose team are we on? And you can take that from family, church, work team, relationships. Whose team are we on? And that's very that becomes very personal and very soul searching, and that's very good. That's nothing wrong with that. But the question must be asked: whose team are you on? Because that is how effective you will play, you and I will play. Think of this team relating together at home plate. They're relating together, they're watching the field. They're wanting to play, they're wanting to win. They're really wanting to win. And a few, one or two, are, you know, they're trying to, you know, they don't want to play it this way. They don't want to play it that way. They would rather play it a different way. They would rather do it a different way. That sounds foolish, but it happens in a different place in home life and church life and work related. There's that continual resistance to the design. And though they, you know, maybe that team wants to, how would you say it? I could never hit it. When I was playing this, some of you know that, but I could never get it out over here, and I could never hit it fast enough to get it so the shortstop couldn't find it. So I found a rule that if you just bunt it about 10 foot, then you could run for all you got to first base. And I did it so many times that I thought, wow, I can make it to first base. And I let my brothers hit them over their heads. And so, but pretty soon, according to how you'd play, they'd figure that out. And then they'd crope in on you, you know, and then they'd get you out. But every once in a while, if you'd hit it left toward third and he'd run for all you had, you could make it to first base. That's all I wanted to do is get on first base. So, but if the purpose is not that, the purpose is to bat harder than the other, you know, and to be somebody, you know, if the purpose is just to get to base, let the other one help you get to second. You know, the game, the design. Bear with me if it's very carnal or foolish. I don't want it to be that way. But to make a point, think about this. These type of players is very hard to build a relationship with. Very hard. Because they insist that everyone else needs to meet them and build relationships with them. And then, therefore, the game is paused. And what? You name it. The game is paused and hindered, and then we go try to build relationship with this team member, and we try to build it. And we do this as parents with children, and in workforces, even in churches. We do this with one design, to bring the team member back into the design, that he could prosper, that you and I could prosper. That's God's design. It's a blessing. So with that one point of whose team you are on, I think it's important, because I know it seems very foundational, but it's important for good, godly relationships. If our mind's eye is on a different team, it will affect our relationships. Not just, I'm here at home, but if our mind's eye is on a different team, it will affect our relationships. Think of a game or a design by God that God calls the shots. Isn't that okay with us? That's okay with us. I trust it is, and I'm very thankful for that tonight, because he has designed it. You know, on the other side of that, though, I shared those couple players that are just running off. They don't want to. You know, then the other side of that is what I was trying to make a point on those. The first point was, so if there's a batter and he bats there and he runs toward first base and he gets distracted by something out here, he just says, I'm just going to go run out here and see this a while. Well, the team says no. Well, many times that becomes blamed or criticized to the team, that you need to go out there and build relationships with that man. Well, you can, but with this purpose, to bring him back home, that he learns how to play. That's the only purpose. That's the best relationship that can be built. It's some things that all of us have observed. Some of us are... I need much help in these areas. This is not something I've attained. But you can go build relationships with a purpose, with one purpose. The other thought here is the second one. We're also not talking. Think of a good relationship in a team. Are we talking? This is something to think about with a question mark. Are we talking about a person that starts on... He bats and he runs just right on that straight line. He gets the first, and he does. He just runs right on the line. And I'm trying to make a point. What are we talking about? Where is his eyes turned? Where is this team player? Where is he turned toward? Many times when a player hits a ball, he'll run, and sometimes he's running. He comes out here like this. Now that umpire and his team members are watching. They're making sure he don't do that. They don't want him to do that. But when his eyes are on first base, he gets there. You see, but there's lines always painted. So I'm trying to make a point. It isn't by the law that you run to first. His eyes are set on first base, and so he has a good relationship with his team. You know, he's fighting his way from base to base with the help of his team members, not fighting. He's not fighting. You know, when he barely makes it to third base and the umpire says, you know, you didn't make it, son. You're out. You know, in the realities of that is, many times that's condemning. That can feel condemning. That doesn't feel like a good relationship. But when that man is submitted to the umpire, to God, he says, I was out. I didn't quite get it. You know, and then when he goes back home happily, encouraged. This is all a spirit of the nature of God's design. God is not condemning us when we don't quite make it to third. He says, go try again. So he goes back home and he studies the field and he tries again. And the next time he makes it to third base, God helps. God desires this. This is two different ways. It was a blessing for me to think about this. I have a few scriptures I'd like to read, and I know I didn't read a lot of scriptures. We have a lot in our Bible study, and I want to give a due amount of time for that. Look at your outline there. Is a few practical points there also from the scriptures. The first one talks about how can we know we have a relationship with God. And we talked about that. It's important to know whose team we're on. and to be under the authority of God. And I have one, if you look at Matthew 5, verse 9, when a man comes under the passion to become a peacemaker, not peacemakers with sin, but he can't stand to live with the ideas of conflict. He just has to strive toward peacefulness. God is working in that person's life. Look for that. Look for that. You know, the other that was Matthew 5 and verse 9. The other one is if we love in 1 John 3:10, if we do what is right and we love the brothers, there's a foundation of a relationship with God that the world and everything it has to offer cannot shake that off the foundation. That's a blessing tonight, because the eternal God of the universe holds that. So we'd like to look. I want to look at that in the first part. And the next one there in the children. I would say children and youth. Colossians 3:20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And we can never get by, the Word of God never commands children without commanding and directing husbands and wives. But to you children and youth, the best way to have a good relationship, the best, and we were talking about godly relationships. I said, just want to remember that, so I don't know how to talk about the facets of different difficulties. But listen to the godly God's design. 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. And I just think of that, and I look over my life, and I'm humbled. And I'm sure none of us have ever done it perfectly. But the exhortation for godly relationships is, children, obey your parents. It seems like I was looking at that. That's pretty simple. But I would just love to keep it that simple. Children, obey your parents. Children and youth. The young people. 1 Timothy 4 is... I don't think I'll read that. Is that retirement plan talks about children taking care of their parents. It is an honor above any other honor that can be when children take care of their parents. Nothing can replace that. When an older man is in a nursing home and he doesn't know where his children are, the pain and the difficulty that goes on in that mindset is not by the design of God. Now, however, those things have to happen because of different reasons. I understand that, but we're talking about the design of God. Fathers to the children. There in the second part, fathers and children. Ephesians chapter 6. It's for fathers to the children. This is the relationship again. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Very familiar verses. Fathers, provoke not your young people to wrath. That's a high calling. How can we do that? You know, there are many, many practical ways that we can do that. You know, by sarcastically pointing out their faults. It provokes them to wrath. It does. It's something that is not, it doesn't take a lot of work for that to happen. And I see my need because I'm a father. But I'm looking at God's design. I want to submit to that continually. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To nurture something, to nurture your son, your daughter, is a good way to build relationships. Next one is husbands to our wives. Husbands to our wives. Some of you young people are not, you're not married, but someday you'll be married. Husbands to your wives. Colossians 3, verse 19. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Very, just a simple verse. But husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And it'll be a blessed relationship. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about godly, blessed relationships. Husbands, love your wives. And then wife to the husband, Colossians 3:18. Remember, I said husbands first, and then now in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fitting into the Lord. And now that's sometimes in a world or a culture we live in, that has caused a lot of repercussion. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And I've heard it tried to be said out of that verse. Just submit to your husbands as you see fit there. But I believe it's saying, you can correct me, but I believe it's saying this is fitting to the Lord. Right? It's just how it is. And by the way, submit is, that's what it is. It's submission when you don't quite feel like it. And may we be husbands that do our part, as we read there earlier. Four is employers and to the employees. Colossians chapter 4, verse 4. So if you're an employer, or if you are a boss or a master, according to the scriptures in different verses here, verse 4, Colossians 4, verse 1, it says, masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So giving to someone that's under your authority that which is just and equal, because you have a master in heaven. That's a design that never can be tampered with, because God will visit that. In the same way it is with employees and to an employer. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms 23, verse 2, some of us are part of both at times. If you go to Psalms 123. Psalms 123, verse 2, it says, behold, as the eyes of a servant look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. And I don't want to take that verse out of context, but I was thinking about faithful servants. And if you're a young person and you're working for your father or you're working for someone else, a good designable way to have a fulfilling relationship is to watch the hand of your employer. See what he's doing. And go, just say, hey, I'll do it for you. Serve. And there is no end to that. But many times people desire that position of an employer. You know, if I could just do like he does, I'd probably make more money, and the thing just goes, just spins out of control. But it all starts with servanthood. It all starts here with this. Just something to provoke us as young people. Watch the hand of your father. Watch him. Watch what he's doing. Find a way to take that load away. It's the best way to build, have godly relationships. It's okay to ask him why you're doing it this way and why you're doing it that way, but do that very graciously. Because the other way is pretty detrimental. Always asking, why do you do it like that? Why do you do it like that? You know, a boss or a father or in any situation becomes pretty beat down by that. The fifth point there is the friends. Thinking of our friends. Ecclesiastes 4 is my last verses. Very familiar verses. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And many of us have good friends. And it's important to have good friends, have good friendships and good relationships. It's something we need more than we know it. Sometimes we think we have a wallet in our pocket, and we have a phone with us, and we just have our own identity, and we can make it without. And we would never really say those things, but some of the tempting thoughts are just to seclude ourselves and just be alone. And by the authority of God's word, we need each other. We need friendships. We need our families. We need our brothers and sisters. This has been a blessing for us and our family, and I look forward to having the Bible study with the group, and I pray that we could learn together from this little lesson on God's design for relationships. So, Lord bless each of you.